Today, on Commitment to Truth.
That's the question to you today. Yes or no? Right? No. But we can be like Israel, and we just don't listen that well. Who do miss the opportunities that God gives us to say, this won't happen if you just listen to me. And I believe that's such a gift of God, because God desires us to find Him in every circumstance that we're in. No matter where you are, if you just turn and listen, you don't have to be out of the situation for it to get better. You can be smack dab, living it, feeling it, smelling it, but if you just turn and listen and obey, it can get better.
Welcome to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Each week, Pastor Cedric Brown and the pastoral team at Commitment Church strive to draw you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Cedric, lead pastor of Commitment Church, with today's message.
So if you can, open your Bibles as we answer the first question, is God lost and needing to be found? Jeremiah 25 is where we're going to start. 25 verses 1 through 11, then we're going to skip over to Jeremiah 26 verses 1 through 6. So think about this. As Israel, we may not be in the best place that we should be today. Right? You may not be in the best relational context. You may not be in the best financial context. You may not be in the best spiritual place that you've ever been. You can then liken that to exile. Right? You may have a family drama going on right now. And it's like, God, I wish I could just get out of this. But yet, at the end of the day, you're going to be living 70 years in it. You know, just synonymous with Judah. 70, maybe 7 days, maybe 7 years, maybe 7 months, maybe 7 weeks. You follow me? Now, whatever the context is for you, it is your context, and it will feel like an exiled experience, period. It will feel like an exiled experience. So whatever that is, the challenge will always be is that in this context, will I choose to wholeheartedly seek and search for God? Or would I say things like this? Well, God, can you just get me out of this? And you never, ever, 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 ever see that with the Shadrachs and Meshachs and Abednegos and Daniels, which we're going to eventually get to in this sermon series, because all that's connected and intertwined. All of it's connected and intertwined historically. You never hear them say, well, can you get us out of exile? Can you get us, you know, we don't like the Babylonian kings. Never say, well, can you give us a new president? Can you give us, oh, can you stop this? Can you stop that? Well, why is all this going on? Like you hear Christians today whine and complain over and over and over again. And all it is, if you would, is our personal exile experience. Right? We find ourselves like, okay, God, I pray and ask you for kids. He gives you kids, and then you say, God, can you get me out of this? I can't sleep like I used to. Oh, you know, they cost too much. They're getting expensive. I can't believe it. I pray for sons, and now they eat me out of house and home. Right? I mean, we get so fickled and so confused. And then it turns into some kind of exile experience, because we're going to learn why it feels so much as though God is lost and needed to be found. And what you're going to find here is that again, is God really lost and is he needing to be found? Verse 1, Jeremiah 25, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first king of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It says, the word which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even to this day. So 13 years. It's just starting, if you would. I've been talking to you for 13 years. Then it says, these 23 years, so there's 10 years somewhere else in there. the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again. It says, but you have not listened. And the Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets, again and again. It's almost like saying, how many sermons do you have to sit under and not listen? For some, well, how many churches do you have to be a part of before you start listening? How many pastors have to go on rotation to preach to you the same message till you start listening? How many Bible verses, sermons on the radio? Right? Because he uses others prophetically over and over and over again and said, will you listen? Again and again, it says, but you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear, saying, turn now everyone from his evil way and from the evil of your deeds and live on the land which the Lord has given you and your forefathers forever and ever. And do not follow other gods to serve them and to worship them. And do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands. Then I will do you no harm. Yet you have not listened to me, declares the Lord, in order to provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own harm. Therefore, this is what the Lord of armies says, because you have not obeyed my words. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, declares the Lord, and I will send to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Remember the stories? You see how it's starting to intertwine? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. My servant and, well, let me back up. He says, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, which says the sovereignty of God. He is in control of all people at all times, no matter what country, no matter any scenario, sinner, saint, he's in control of. They are doing his work in some unique way. And I will bring them against this land and against its inhabitants and against all these surrounding nations. And I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror and hissing and an everlasting place of ruins. Moreover, I will eliminate them from the voice of jubilation and the voice of joy, the voice of the groom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. This entire land will be a place of ruins, an object of horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Is God lost and needing to be found? No, is the answer. But like Israel, we're not good listeners. We just don't listen. So think about this for a minute. Today, you may be in a financial pickle, but I guarantee you, if you go home today after this message, pray and ask the Lord, says, God, can you reveal to me when you were speaking to me? He will show you granular details. I told you not to buy that. But you did it anyway. I told you not to use that credit card, but you did it anyway. I told you to pray and ask me for help, but you chose not to. I told you to seek my counsel and even the counsel of others, but you bought it anyway. I told you to give, and it will be given to you. I will cause men to give into your bosom. I told you to tithe, and you know what he says about the tithe? And then the destroyer will not come and destroy your fields, destroy your crop. But you know what our fields are? Our jobs, our health, our cars, our houses. And it's like, okay, you want to play games? All that stuff is going to fall apart. How do I know?
Because it happened to me. I mean, it's like, and the Lord's convicted me, and my wife is like, see, I told you. I was telling you right there, but you chose not to listen to me. You did it anyway. God would always send someone to speak. He will always, always send someone to speak to you. It says the Lord has sent you all his servants, the prophets again and again. It says, but you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. Couple of key words. The word listen. You not listen. You did not hear. You did not concern yourself. There was no concerning. It says to hear with attention or interest. It just didn't. His voice didn't even interest you. Apparently some other voice did. The word incline. Incline your ear means to turn your ear, to bend or bow your ear. In other words, it's a gesture of submission. Will you lower yourself to hear what I'm saying to you? Proverbs 1:5 says this, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Then Proverbs 1:33 goes on to says this, but he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. If evil seems to always befall you, you have to then flip the script to say, well, am I listening to him so that I'll be secure and be at ease? You see, God not only will send someone to speak, he will always seek repentance, then restoration. In other words, there has to be this response to when he speaks. It says, turn down, verse 5, turn down everyone from his evil way and from the evil of your deeds. Turn now, not when you feel like it, not when it's convenient, not when you think it's safe, but turn now. Do you see the connection now? Well, where's God? Where's God? Well, it's because I'm turned away from him. He hasn't gone anywhere. It says turn now, which means turn back now. Turn back now of this spiritual relationship. Re-engage him spiritually. Turn now means this. And this is so special and sweet by God. It says turn now. The word now means turn, we pray. Turn, please. God didn't have to say please. But to me, that's just the kindness and the grace of God that says, come on, I just don't want you to have to experience this. Can you please just listen to me? Some parents understand what I'm saying about that, right? It's like, can you just do what I ask you to do? Right? Ooh, pretty please with sugar on top, you know? Right? It's like, can you? Because as parents, we see the potential catastrophic events that's going to occur if you just. Yes. Proverbs 4:10 says, hear my son and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Lastly, under we're not good listeners, you find in verses 8 through 10 is, God will always, unfortunately, have to get to a place of serving consequences because we leave him no option. It's not like he wants to just dish out and, you know, let stuff come upon us, but it's like, I have no other option because I'm holy. It's not like I want to be this bad God and let bad things. No, it's like you chose to do this and not listen. And unfortunately, here's your consequences. And listen, truth be told, sometimes the prophet is your wife. Guys? Some of you ladies know what I'm talking about. And sometimes, young people, the prophet is your parents. And And if you are a believer and follower of Christ and your parents don't know you, know him, like you know him, sometimes the kids can even speak prophetically. I don't know about you. I remember when my kids were smaller, out of the mouth of babes. I walk into the house, they'll say something, and it'll speak to my heart like, dang, they don't even know that God is telling me this. And they just said that, and it's speaking directly to my heart. God can use a donkey still because he wants to give us all the options before he serves consequences. And that's why you look at verse 8, because you have not obeyed my words. The word obey means you have not yielded and you have not given heed to my words. Right? Yield sign, like says, it tells you proceed with caution. It's like slow it down, yield. Right? Because there's some apparent, you know, obstacle that's in your way that's coming. There's an alternate route, etc., that God may want you to travel, but he needs us to obey, to yield to. Verse 9, I will send and take all the families of the north. I will send to Nebuchadnezzar, and I will send. The words I will send means this. I will send off our way. I will give you over. Remember, the scripture says that he will turn us over to a reprobated mind. You don't want to respond. You don't want to do what he says to do. He'll just turn you over to your vile passions. It's not what he wants. But for some of us, that's the consequence. Verse 10, it says, I would eliminate from them the voice of jubilation, the voice of joy, the voice of the groom, right? So the word eliminate means to take from them, to exterminate, to do away with, and cause to vanish. So again, keep in mind, well, is God lost? Does he need to be found? Well, no, he doesn't. But what he may do is say, well, you know what? I'm going on mute. I'm still watching over you. I'm still there. I will intervene. But I have to be silent. Again, some of you know, again, as a parent, you'll get this. Because there's times God will just say, shut your big mouth. And don't say anything. Just be quiet. Go on mute. Because sometimes silence speaks the most. So when you see this, he says he will then cause it to vanish. He says his voice, think about this. The voice means the sound of the bridegroom, right? The lightness of jubilation, the frivolity, which means the silliness of joy. You know, that relational context, you follow me? It's like you're just around your friend and you're just being silly and goofy and just having fun. And it's like, now it's like, this following Jesus and this God thing ain't fun no more. Could it be we haven't been good listeners? That happens in any relationship context. If a husband really doesn't listen to his wife, trust me, jubilation kind of. The husband doesn't feel like he's listened by his wife, he closes up. He gets silent. In any relational context, if there's something that disrupts because you're not hearing me, environment changes. But with God, we seem that we could just act a fool and do whatever we want and not listen to him and then think that he's just going to be there chilling, waiting for us, like, okay, like it's happy daffy, like nothing's really happening. And it's like, oh, we can act goofy with him, but he's, you know, he's giving you that look like, really? Are you really think it's all that funny right now? Because it's relationship. Proverbs 5, 12 through 14 says, and you say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart spurned reproof? I have not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to my instructors. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. It's because I just don't want to listen. Next, we find in chapter 26, real quickly, verses 1 through 6. Again, Jeremiah 26, verses 1 through 6. Again, is God lost and needing to be found? We know right now, no. But then if you look at verses 1 through 6, and this is going to be hopefully a culminating answer as well. It says, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the sons of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord, saying, this is what the Lord says, stand in the courtyard of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah who have come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I've commanded you to speak to them. Do not omit a word. Perhaps they would listen and everyone would turn from his evil way, and I will relent of the disaster which I am planning to inflict upon them because of their evil of their deeds. And you should say to them, this is what the Lord says. If you do not listen to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I have been, listen to what it says, whom I have been sending to you again and again, but you have not listened. Then I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. You could just hear God's plea, and I just really don't want this to happen. Is God lost and needing to be found? No. But like Israel, we miss our opportunity, our room for escape. God is still pleading and saying, hey, pretty please, can you just listen to me? Just listen to me. Here's your escape. Matter of fact, listen to what he says. First, he says that he will always provide us the opportunity. And he says, do not omit a word. It's almost like God is saying, I want everyone to have an opportunity by every word that comes from my mouth. That every word, it says, do not diminish a word. Do not withdraw or keep back or clip a word. Which is so unique that it's, even today, right? We can clip words. But God is saying, don't even clip a word that you need to say prophetically, even on paper. Don't clip it. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. All scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Why? So the man or woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We cannot miss this opportunity or this room for escape, because God in his word will always provide an alternative, right? He will always give you an alternative. You can go, right, the wide road, or you can go the narrow road. It says, perhaps they will listen and everyone will turn from his evil way, and I will relent of the disaster. Just perhaps somebody may say, I'll do it, God. And it is interesting, as a pastor that preaches Sunday after Sunday, that's almost like the place I had to come to, because early on, it's like, well, why aren't they listening? They should be doing what God's saying. You know, after a while, it's like, hey, perhaps somebody's listening. It's like you just come up week after week and just say, okay, God, perhaps somebody's listening. Somebody's going to do what God is speaking to us. Perhaps somebody's going to say it, or, you know, respond to what I said. And I think that's just, you know, God's grace that says, okay, well, I'm not just going to, you know, let everyone get caught up in all the nonsense, which still, though, if someone disobeys, it can affect the entire family. But in the entire family, someone can at least say, well, you know what? Perhaps I will listen, God. Someone can be the one in the marriage to say, perhaps God, I'll be the one that will be the one to listen, because 1 Corinthians talks about that, is that the unbelieving husband can be sanctified by the believing wife. And the unbelieving wife can be sanctified by what? A believing husband. So you have that clear that God will say, I'll take care of this household because of you. Because you're choosing to do right. I'll do miracles in your family because you chose to do right. And to me, that's just the grace of God, that perhaps somebody will. 1 Corinthians 10, and please go back and read all of 1 Corinthians 10. But here's verses 11 through 13. It says, now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction. Paul talking to the church at Corinth, talking about Israel having to go around Mount Sinai for 40 years. He says, upon whom the ends of the age have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. In other words, if you don't think that you have the capacity to act like the children of Israel, you're sadly mistaken. It says, in verse 13, no temptation, though, has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. So whatever your exile experience is right now, you're able. You're able. You're able to endure it. But then it gets better. No temptation is overtaking you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted but beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. That's his promise. Is God lost and needed to be found? That's the question to you today. Yes or no? You can respond. No, right? Right? No. But we can be like Israel, and we just don't listen that well. And we can be like Israel, who do miss the opportunities that God gives us to say, this won't happen if you just listen to me. And I believe that's such a gift of God, because God desires us to find him in every circumstance that we're in. And here's the cool thing, church, and I'll end with this and end with an example of this, is that no matter where you are, if you just turn and listen, it can get better. It can get better. You don't have to be out of the situation for it to get better. You can be smack dab, living it, feeling it, smelling it. But if you just turn and listen and obey, it can get better. Amen? There was a question asked, how do I find God? Here's an answer by someone. It says this, and I tried to clip this down a little bit, no pun intended. I just told you don't clip, but now I'm clipping this down, right? Here's my answer about my journey to finding God. This is someone anonymous. It says, it took a long time, and I tried many ways before I experienced God in a way that transformed my life. I was born and raised in a Hindu family. When I was in my teens, I rebelled against traditional religion, considering it all superstitious. The folk aspect of Hinduism involves a lot of bowing to idols and priests, belief in myths about gods who take form similar to Greek mythology. But at the same time, I thought, if there were a God, what is he like? If there's only one God, why are there so many religions? Why are there teachings so different and contradictory? Surely God would be consistent. These questions set my expectations for finding an answer that was coherent and made sense. But at this time, I genuinely believed that the answer to life was progress in science and technology. However, I found that the sciences, especially biology, were reductionist because they define life, including human beings, purely in physical terms. We were not anything more than complex biochemical reactions, and there was no purpose to anything. Even happiness and pleasure could be reduced to chemical reactions, and any morals and values were meaningless from a materialistic point of view. Quite depressing. I began to read Hindu and Buddhist scriptures to see if they could enlighten me, but I found their basic premise to be weak. They teach that the physical world is an illusion and we should detach ourselves from it because it is an endless cycle of change. It all comes to an end with, we suffer because we desire this world and are attached to it. We need to detach ourselves through meditation and other exercises until we are perfectly separated and experience a state of mind called nirvana. This was to stop suffering and cause us to have peace within us. I also began to realize that human beings can be good, but they were also capable of committing evil things. I realized that all people, including myself, had the potential to commit evil acts. After university, I met a work colleague who was a Christian, and we had some very interesting discussions. And listen to this. I went to church, did not like it. However, when I read the Gospels in the New Testament, I was amazed by Jesus. The miracles, his wisdom, the way he explained the kingdom of God. I was challenged and moved by the Sermon on the Mount. Some of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount had a profound effect on me. And here's a couple, just in brief, I had to clip some. Yeah, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rains on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Matthew 5, 43-46. Then he says, do not lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6, 19-21. Then he goes on to say, I've never heard teachings like this before, and I wanted to live like this as much as possible. I wanted to follow Jesus because of his wisdom. He always knew what to say and how to deal with difficult situations. Ultimately, I was at the cross that Jesus had the most profound on me. It was at the cross that Jesus had the most profound effect on me. He was good, totally innocent. Yet when they crucified him on the cross, some of his last words were, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He says it was a revolutionary way of responding to evil. However, I was not prepared to follow him until I was sure about the truth of the story told in the gospel. I considered whether the gospels are true or not because they contain extraordinary events, teachings, and wisdom. I came to the conclusion that the accounts were true because the stories are told in a straightforward way and there was no attempt at embellishment. I also thought if I did not believe the gospels, then there was nothing else. I would not be prepared to trust because of the integrity and honesty of the accounts. It says, I felt the conviction that if I believed the gospels were true, then I needed to follow Jesus. It says, after a few days later, I happened to be on my own in the staff room at work. I felt Jesus' presence and the room seemed brighter than normal. I heard him say, I forgive you everything and do not worry about a thing. I bowed my head, closed my eyes, and prayed. I had met God for the first time and I knew him personally. I felt joy since knowing God intimately and have had a kind of peace I never known before. Now, let me end with this. I got to read this and get this in. It says, through the Holy Spirit and the Bible, I could hear God's voice, which was so important as I had questions about the way I should live my life as a follower of Jesus. One of the ways God spoke to me was when reading the Bible, some part of it would stand out and answer very specific questions for which I needed an answer. I remember one time thinking that maybe I had made a mistake because Christianity was a white person's religion and not for me. Soon after I read in my Bible, Jesus said this, I tell you, many will come from the east and the west and recline at my table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. This removed any concerns I had about whether Jesus was for a particular race only. Telling you, if you seek him, you will find him if you seek him with all of your hearts. But see, truth be told, you know what happens when you're in your exile? Start reading your Bible. You stop reading your Bible. Stop praying. All the things that you need to stay connected to God. He didn't need a preacher to preach to him. All they needed to do is pursue God himself and be genuinely open to hear from God, and God spoke to him. Just as simple as that, church. He will be found. It's your challenge to understand that it is your responsibility to seek him and seek him with all of your heart. No matter what condition and circumstance that you're in today, seek after him and don't stop seeking after him. Amen? Yes. Father, we thank you so much that you have promised if we seek you, we will find you. But we are required to seek you with all of our hearts. And today there may be someone under the sound of my voice that may say, hey, Pastor, listen, I'm at that place of exile and I don't know where to go. Maybe like you're like this young man who was searching because he was in another, raised it contextually in another religion and another worship context, but it was wrong. Maybe today you're seeking him. You need to be. You need to find him. But are you seeking him with all of your hearts? Are you open to hear his voice? Maybe you're in an exile state and you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, but for whatever reason, it sounds like the groom has become silent. The joy seems to be gone. Could it be that you've stopped seeking him with all of your heart?
Hello, my name is Sarah Vega, and I am the Administrative and Executive Director here at Commitment Church. I hope you've enjoyed today's message by Pastor Cedric Brown. If you didn't know, Pastor Cedric also sends out encouraging videos weekly. We call these the Weekly Wire. The acronym WIRE means Weekly Inspiration, Refreshment, and Encouragement. We can send these encouraging videos directly to you by subscribing at www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org. Here's an example of the encouragement you'll receive.
Hey everybody, Pastor Cedric here of Commitment Church. And I want to admit to you today that you are looking at, right here, a failure. Yes, a failure. Listen, I must admit to you that I failed as a man. I failed as a man of God. I failed as a husband. I failed as a father. I failed as a friend. I failed as a pastor. I failed as a son. I failed as a brother. I failed as a cousin, uncle, great uncle, etc., etc. I've failed miserably. But one promise I have is this from God, is that if I apply one thing in my life, I will never fail again. I don't know about you, maybe
in life you have realized that you have failed over and over and over again, maybe as a businessman, businesswoman, mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, whatever it may be. Maybe you have failed so many people, so many times over your lifetime. But I will say to you today that if you apply this one biblical principle, you will never fail again. And you know what it is? Love. I've realized that if I love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, love my neighbor as myself, I'll never fail. But I can see patterns in my life that when I failed, I've also failed to love. But if I apply love, I will never fail. So I want to encourage you today that in everything you do, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, and you'll begin to see the failure rate decrease in your life. I know I have. I know when I get up every single day, and I know that my main goal in life is to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And secondly, love my neighbor as myself. It seems to get me through every relational difficulty, every personal struggle, personal battle. And yes, even this is applicable, I would say, even in the business community, even you're both, again, both privately and publicly. If you choose to allow love to be the reason why you do business, you will always do business well. If you let love be the very reason why you do good to others, you will never fail in relationships. So I would again guarantee to you and challenge you today that if you want to fail less, never fail at love. Again, this is Pastor Cedric of Commitment Church. And if you want to be a person like me that has overcome failure, the only way I've found in my life you can overcome failure is never failing to love.
We hope you enjoyed this sample of our Weekly Wire. Again, to subscribe to your weekly inspiration, refreshment, and encouragement, please visit www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org.
Thank you for listening to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. If you want to listen to the previous messages in this series, or if you want to hear messages from other series, visit Commitment Church on YouTube or Pastor Cedric Brown on Spotify, Pandora, or other podcast providers. You can also visit us on our website, commitmentchurch.org. And if you live in the Philadelphia, Delaware, or South Jersey area, we would love to see you in person as well. You can attend any of our services by visiting us at 2 Berlin Road South, Lindenwald, New Jersey, 08021. Thank you again for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.